Lord, we're thankful tonight for your word, for the place you have put us in the ministry and this church. People's lives are being changed. We thank you have answers and solutions for us tonight as we yield to the Holy Spirit and line upon line, precept upon precept, be to your glory. We thank you for all who are here and all who are watching all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I would like for you all to get that 14 verse, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, in the Message Bible on the board. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. I'm going to read verse in the King James Version, but we're going to read from verse 11. The apostle was finalizing some instruction he had given to these people, and he's about to go. And there's something real major here. He said in the 11th verse, and then I'm going to give you some words I want you to know that are very important tonight. He says in the 11th verse, finally, brethren, farewell. See, you see what he said?
Yes.
But then he told them, be perfect. Be complete. I've taught you enough for you to be fully furnished in the Spirit. Fully furnished in the Spirit. I've taught you enough. So he says, be perfect. He said, try to get perfect. He said, be matured.
Yes.
Be matured. You see that?
Yes.
Be matured. Then he says, what I've taught you, be of good comfort.
Yes, sir.
See, Jesus said, you know the truth will set you free, right? Uh-huh. So he said, be of good comfort. Then he said, be of one mind.
Uh-huh.
How many of y'all seen that?
Yes, sir.
Live in peace.
Lord,
and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, the turmoils and the agony that the body of Christ going through shouldn't be. You read this verse.
Yes, sir.
But then it dropped to the 14th verse. It said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
So he left the Trinity in three. This in the NIV, it read, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all of you. I want you to write these few words down because the shifting should take place as we commune with the Holy Spirit and study on the Holy Spirit. The first word is, and I want you to think about yourself, your body, your soul, your spirit, your home, your wherever you are, atmosphere. A certain atmosphere follow you when you understand how to relate to the Spirit of God properly. You build an atmosphere no matter what surrounding around you, you carry your atmosphere with you. See. And when you learn how to commune with the Holy Spirit, things that may interrupt your peace, it cannot be validated.
Oh, yeah.
Because you brought your atmosphere with you.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what communion with the Holy Spirit is all about. And then anointing. This has something to do with your anointing. You notice there in 1 John 2:27, powerful verse. 1 John 2:27 doesn't mean you don't need the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, and the teacher, but if the apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher teaching at a level and you're not anointed, you would not be able to keep up.
Amen.
Just turn to that verse, because it's a very important verse in the scriptures. And I'm trying to say some of the things that effect that it's going to have on your life. Yeah, hallelujah. You see that 1 John 2, 1 John, and not John Gospel, 1 John, the epistle. That's back toward Revelation, the back of your Bible. See, but the anointing What you receive of him abideth in you. Very important. Abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. You see it? Mm-hmm. Even as he taught you, you should abide in him. So the Holy Spirit job, communion with the Holy Spirit, is to keep you abiding in the Spirit, abiding in a place where God can reveal himself to you. See, the trouble has been is information. And listen to me very carefully. We're about to dump something here now. We have too much information without the inspiration. The Holy Spirit has to inspire you for the information to be used right. Are you following me? That's what we're talking about, the anointing. The Spirit has to be involved. Let me see, can I show it to you? In John Gospel chapter 5, verse 39. Go there, John Gospel. Now, let's go back to John Gospel. Because I gotta get, before we take off, I got to show you this. It might not be the verse I want you to have now, but I'll go there. Yeah, that's the verse. John 5:39. Now I'm ministering to you, all right?
Yes, sir.
Search the scriptures.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe you've been scriptonized. And we speak in scriptures, but we can't have faith because we don't have the revelation. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Scriptures does not work without faith. And faith does not work without knowing the scripture. And so, let me say it a little Clara, you can have your Bible and you can have the right scripture, but if the Holy Spirit don't breathe on it or reveal it to you, you're just like a natural person talking. Okay? So in teaching you and ministering to you about communion with the Holy Spirit, in that verse we read, the last thing, and communion with the Holy Ghost, is that we need to have connection and direction in another realm than what we're dealing with. You see what I'm saying? Do you really see? Yeah. So a lot of scriptures you've been using hasn't been working for you. I notice in the scripture, when the Lord really wanted to show a point how to get a breakthrough, he said, observe. Tarry. Wait till you get some insight, light. Are you following me? So here he says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have the answer. You think you have the solution for that problem, but you don't have it because you're just using the unrevealed word. Search the scripture, for in them you think you've handled the situation. But you haven't handled it unless you're in tune with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'll show you another verse to prove it more clear in a few minutes. So what I am is studying about communication with the Holy Spirit is to get the word to come alive in every situation you deal with. See, that you carry an atmosphere with you that can handle any situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Are you following me? Yeah. All right, now watch this. Because that scripture, I want you to search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are there which testify of me. Now, don't just think about eternal life. Think about life every day. Yeah. Same thing. If you don't really have that scripture, you just searching the scripture. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit there to back you up, you still don't have it. Yeah. All right, go to John 6:63. I got to go there before I go to work. You're right next door to it. John 60. Don't go nowhere. John 6:63. You're right there. You know, just flipping the Bible. I was watching a movie the other night. The boy was trying to tell a girl was she saved or not. And she's trying to work with the Bible. She didn't know what she was doing. She couldn't find the scripture. It is the Spirit that quickened it. John 6:63. All right, see that?
Yes,
so that's go along with that other verse, search the scripture. But if the scriptures are not quickened, they are not alive. See, you never heard this before, but I'm gonna give it to you. Your faith is like breathing breath into the scripture. So let's go backward. So then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's not just like that. It's not just, so then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's not just like that. Not that's just because you hear me say something about the word or you hear yourself reading the word, that the faith don't come like that. You got to have some type of revelation.
Yes.
You come on now.
You
have to be acceptable to move to another level.
Yes. Yes.
Because you know quite well, all you know is not enough happening.
Amen.
You know that. And so it's my job to bring you there. See now, so faith come by here and you got a scripture, you heard it, you read it. Now you're going out talking about you using it. No, it has not become the sword of the Spirit to you.
Amen.
Unless the Holy Spirit make it the sword of the Spirit, it's not the sword of the Spirit. So therefore, Satan don't have to pay no attention to you. The problem don't have to pay no attention to you. But if you get it like we're trying to get it to you now, when you talk, everything gonna move.
Amen.
See, when you're packing an anointed word. So that's the difference between memorization and meditation. See? You can memorize a whole lot of stuff, but if you don't have the Spirit, it don't have no substance. So the Lord is answering for somebody why some things is not working. See, we came out of the jungle and got into another jungle. And I want you to know, you took your time to come out here tonight. I want you to know that your life will be put in another position. The Holy Spirit has to help me, but I sense that the Lord, some thing that you've been trying to accomplish. If you get a show word from God, not a word somebody else told you about, but a word that is alive in you. You see what I'm saying? You need to, when you commune with the Holy Spirit, you get to the position where God said in Isaiah 55:11, you start saying it. You can start saying the same thing. My word will not return to me void. Because I got the same person who said it by himself working through me. When the word is not alive, the vision that God gave to you or the destiny God have set for you, you keep changing it. You go to another dream. But that's not right. And so if you listen to me tonight, the word of God is spirit. Look at 63 again. It is the spirit that quickeneth. Yes. What quickening mean?
Make alive.
So if the spirit don't quicken, what the matter? What the word is?
Dead.
You ain't got no inspiration. You ain't got no anointing. You don't have no quickening. You just quoting the Bible, talking about devil, I bind you. Devil said, you ain't talking to me. You can't bind me because you in the natural. The will of God cannot be known naturally.
That's right. Amen.
The will of God cannot be known academically. The will of God cannot be known psychologically.
Yes, sir.
The will of God is only known in the spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Now, you may not go tell a shingle. You may not think I'm telling you nothing tonight, but I'm telling you, if you go back over your life and go back over some scriptures you've been having hiding in you for a long time and permit the Holy Spirit to breathe on them, you will get results. I'm about results, me. I'm not about religion, I'm about result. I'm not about routine, I'm about result. I'm not about rituals, I'm about results. The spirit that quickeneth. Look at the next statement now. Oh, Jesus. The flesh profited nothing. When the spirit is not moving, you're in the flesh. So he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. All right. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right. I have to take somebody some further so they can see it. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Somebody been reading the Bible a long time, and they say, I know what I'm doing. All right, come on. Acts chapter 8. Verse 26. Because I want to bring you down to it, though. All right, and that's 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, Philip the evangelist, who had preached a great sermon in the town and changed the whole town. But the Lord called him out here. And behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuchs of great authority. Yeah, you got great authority. Under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure. You seen it? Because I'm emphasizing it to show you something. That don't mean nothing with the scripture. See. None of that in charge of the scripture. The treasures, no matter what position you're holding, it's not in charge. All right? And who had charge of all our treasures had come to Jerusalem, he'd come there for to worship. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now watch who talked to Philip now. Verse 29. Then what?
The Spirit.
Then what?
The Spirit.
Said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, the Spirit told him, go. The Spirit said, I'm going to handle this.
Yes.
But I need a vessel to handle it through. Look at me.
Yes.
You that vessel.
Yes.
But you have to know what you're doing.
Yes.
See, you have to know how to yield to the Spirit. Y'all here with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, after the night, there's something you may have been dealing with for a long time. You can go change it.
Yes, sir.
You make sure you got it.
Yes.
You say, now, Lord, I'm not leaving until I get it. I didn't come here to get no English, Lord. Watch what happened now. There's a smart man. He's big man. He's reading the Bible. Then the Spirit said to Philip, verse 29, go near and join thyself to his chariot. He in a chariot. He in a chariot. And Philip ran down to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, here it is. Understandest thou what thou readest? Man, educated man, you know the man, he know the verbs and the colon and the commas and understand. The man know how to understand. See, but there's another level of understanding. Write that down. There's another, every scripture you read, there's another level of understanding. Because I want to tell you this before I finish reading this. Hearing, seeing, understanding, faith come, apply, then receive. I told you 6 things. 6 things. If you don't have 6 things, you didn't hear me. Hearing, seeing, understanding, faith, apply, receiving. I'll give you another word, sharing. You ready to share then?
Yes.
See. So now, that divine process, the first great lesson Jesus taught about sowing the word, in explanation of that in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he says that you have to hear, see, and understand before you can apply.
Yes.
See. This is, I think, how can I say this? We grab the Bible. As soon as we pay, we grab the Bible and find our favorite verses. And they might not be working today. That's not the one he wants you to use, you see. Are you following me? Come on now, y'all know I'm, you all know I'm teaching you all. Y'all know you're learning something. So don't sit there and act like all prissy like you're not hearing something. I'm trying to get your life changed. I'm tired of all this just going to church and reading the Bible and waving my hand. I want some action. When I speak, I want something to happen in my life. And if I speak over somebody else, I want something to happen in their life. You can't get it. Understand thou what thou readest, last part of the 30 verse. And he said,
yes, sir.
Yeah, come on.
How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then you know the story. Philip revealed to him, he's talking about Isaiah and talking about Jesus' death. But it's powerful. That's an illustration of showing you. Look at another scripture, and I'm going to give you some keys to unlock this whole deal. Go to John chapter 3. We're talking about the importance of having proper communion with the Holy Spirit. Proper communion. And the Holy Spirit will not force you. It has to be a flow. All right. Give me a minute. We'll get it. John Gospel, chapter 3, verse 34.
All right.
For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. Look what he said next though. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. See. When you really have a word from God, it brings the spirit in you from the word. It, word is spirit and life. That the spirit get on the inside of you of the revelation of the direction of how you should do this. Not you don't just have information. You have the Holy Spirit unraveling the solution for the problem and telling you what way to go and how to say this and when to stand still and when to run and when to shout. But you got to have with the spirit, not just the word. So I said atmosphere, anointing, authority, attitude, ascending, advancing when you communicate with the Holy Spirit properly. And then I stood over there and the Holy Spirit told me, write this word. I said, all right. You know what he told me, right? Activities. A whole lot of activity going on, but it's not producing. You know, we're busy, but the results not manifesting. Activity, it's called activity without the activating of the Holy Ghost. And that's where we're growing, aren't we? I can't hear y'all.
Yes.
All right. Your next situation. You gonna think about this. I promise you that. Your next situation, you gonna say Tuesday night. I'm not going out your naked. I think I'm gonna put my clothes on first. See, the Holy Spirit is your closing. Yes, sir. Said, I believe the scripture says Satan believes too. He believes, but he can't get no revelation. That's when you whip him. You can't whip him with just the word. He know the word. But when the word come alive in you and you illuminate it, man, you can whip him then because he don't know what he's talking about. But you know who you're talking about. Nobody talking about you quoting the Bible. Nobody paying you no attention. But you have that Bible have to come alive on the inside of you. Yes, sir. Something else I want to show you. Should I? Let's see. Knowing how to hear from the Holy Ghost and knowing how to talk to the Holy Ghost. Yielding to the Holy Spirit will produce the right atmosphere in your life. Amen. Carrying you in the realm of unlimitedness.
Amen.
When you learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 10. Now, where John was on the Isle of Patmos, and if God not with you there, you're in trouble. If you functioning by just what you see and what you feel, you haven't walked with God yet. And I can tell you from these lessons, there are places you're going to be able to go in the spirit you have never been before. For lack of better words, there are karate chops in the spirit you're going to be able to use that you were not able to use to defend yourself. You see my point? And it's a good life, man. When you know what you're doing, it's a good life. I mean, when you get exposed to God and exposed to Jesus and exposed to the Holy Spirit and exposed to the truth of God's word properly in a given situation, you don't have nothing to worry about. See, this part of the rest the Lord talking about. That you see, we are unrestful. We're wrestling. We battle conscious. And the Lord is trying to tell us, have peace. The battle not yours, it's mine. But you have to have that revelation. We get discouraged in the wilderness. No, the wilderness is for the disabled you. That God can show you, I can take care of you. You got to get some places where you can't handle it yourself. Because you'll never understand God if you always get somebody to handle it for you. But you get someone you can't tell nobody, but God do something for you out of the ordinary. Then you're ready to flow then. You follow me? So the willingness in your life is for a purpose. It's not God trying to hurt you. It's God trying to help you to shift atmosphere, shift levels. Because once you can see God or do something when you're helpless. You see, I tell you about, my goodness. The three atmospheres, faith, anointing, and the glory. Huh? You know, when you get to the glory, you operate in faith. And you operate in anointing. You know what the glory for? Is to disable you. It's to get you out the way. The glory comes real strong. Sunday, it happened to me Sunday. You don't know what to do. So you're just doing stuff. The Lord take over. So sometimes it's going to help somebody. The Lord permits such a situation to come in your life where you're helpless. And Lord, if you don't come through now, I'm not going to make it. He come through every time. But he wants you to catch the training, baby. Catch the training. You train no matter how good you be, how nice you're trying to be, something go wrong. Well, that happened, you know, like if I'm doing everything right, like, no, I've learned you can do all you want. You can pray and stay all you want. But something going to get screwed up some kind of way, but you have to trust God to bring you out. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him all your ways, he'll direct your path. Because I'm going to say it this way. You really shouldn't try to be selling or telling a product you haven't proven. And it's time for you to come out of Sunday school. Be perfected. Be perfect. Be matured. Be ready. Give God the glory. You said, well, I just feel sad for yourself. You're all sad. But they just don't know the trouble I'm going through. Somebody needs to slap you. on both sides of your head. You got God living on the inside of you, Jesus living on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, the kingdom of God's on the inside of you, a divine nature on the inside of you, the Spirit is on the inside of you, and you talk about, I can't make it. Paul says, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. Revelation 1:10. Watch what happened. Look at Revelation 1:10. Look what this man said. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And because I was in the Spirit, heard. Spoke to me. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now somebody on your row might not be hearing nothing tonight. Might not be hearing anything. I'm telling you. And somebody might go out here just like they came in. Anything you're dealing with, you should not, after I give the benediction, be dealing with it the same way when you came in here. Are you not listening then? You're not listening. You're not. If you leave here in the same predicament you had when you came in here, you're not here. You're not here. The same Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that John was in on the Isle of Patmos is in Darrow tonight. Same Spirit. You can go to the same place and then you hear your answer. You hear your direction. What? I was in the Spirit and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Watch what happened. Watch what happened. Watch what happened. What he said, John? I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the ending. It ain't over until I say so. I want you to understand, listen to me very carefully. Your birthright of giving a verdict. You have a birthright to give a verdict on anything that's messing with you. A birthright verdict. See, you have the ability to call things that be not as though they were, because when you call them, they are. Revelation make you a birther. When you're in the Spirit, you get pregnant. That what need to come forth. Did you follow me?
Yes.
So when a case come up, if you in the Spirit, you're gonna hear something.
Yeah.
It's gonna be the verdict. This is the way this is going to come out. I know you're seeing one thing, but don't be concerned about that. Make the verdict. Matter of fact, how you want it to come out? He said he'd give you the desire of your heart. Revelation, illumination, light, light, man, light. See, the word give light. When you're in the spirit, the light come on.
Yes.
The light, is normality is over.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I was in the spirit of the Lord there, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia and Ephesus and Smyrna. And then all of those churches, when he wrote to those churches, and then look what the 12th voice said.
Yes,
12. I turned the cedar voice. What kind of language this is? I turned the cedar voice. Let me see. I can. Say something. I'm sorry. Say something so I can see your voice. Listen. I turned the cedar voice. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this.
Yes, sir.
You have the ability to see what God says. What? Oh, man, some of y'all just sitting there. You have the ability to see the revelation and the results and the reward. Before anything happened naturally, you walking with it already. You saw what he said. You didn't only hear what he said, you saw it. In other words, when you're in the spirit, you have a vision of the conclusion. You already know how it's going to come out. You have a picture in your imagination how it's going to come out. You take a snapshot of the result in the spirit. How many with me here now? See, so you don't only hear the word, you see it, you understand it, because it come open to you. Now, write these verses down. You've seen it before, but I want you to write these verses down. I might go through one or two of them And then you write down to the 17th verse. I didn't read all the way down to the 17th verse there. But you saw a vision of Jesus, you know, and he saw him, you know. But in Revelation 2, 7. Now Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 13. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God. In other words, if you hear it, you overcome it, whatever it is. And you got that in Revelation 2:7, you got it in Revelation 2:11, you got it in Revelation 2:17, you got it in Revelation 2:29, you got it in Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22. All he that has ears to hear. All right. Now I got 16 minutes. I'm going to pull some things on you right quick. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's a seven keys to stay in fresh communion with the Holy Ghost. Seven keys. Stay in fresh communion with the Holy Ghost. Key number one, do not grieve the Holy Ghost. Then Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Look at it, we say at the end of the verse, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. What do you mean sealed? You are sealed with the solution. And you redeemed from the curse of the law. And by you being able to receive and understand that, you know, nothing can break that seal. It's the Holy Ghost. So whatever trying to happen to you not right, you ought to know you're sealed. See, I remember Mama and them used to put them figs in the jar and they put a wax in there. That's to keep the germ and the bacteria out to cause the thing to spar. Well, you've been sealed. So all Satan doing is bluffing. He can't get in this jar. You understand that? He's just bluffing. You already sealed. You can't spar. You can't lose. He really can't get to you unless you let him. See, when you seal, everything become a bluff. I'm going to use two words here. I want you to remember them. The only weapon Satan has is deception. Yeah. Yes, sir. But you got a weapon. Discerning. Yeah. Don't look at the smile. Don't listen to the nice voice. Holy Spirit, what's up here? This will save you a lot of heartaches. Because they'll have some smooth talkers. But if you got your discerning valve open, say, no, I don't want none. Thank you. That's all right. No, I'm not going. So here he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. Voice above it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Then the voice under said, let all bitterness, wrath. See, read that context from the 25th to the 32nd verse, and you get a good clearness of it, all right? And then I want to read this other one, and knowing how not grieving, you hurt the, if it's a lack of a better word, it almost hurt the Holy Spirit's feeling.
Yeah.
When you act so dumb, just crying and calling everybody your note, and the Holy Spirit just slapping you all side of the head. I'm here. Yeah. We all know about this. Don't y'all say, listen, thank God I'm a human being. Thank God. I know what I'm talking about. So y'all can act like, no, I don't do that. Come on. Man. Key number two, knowing how not to quench the Holy Spirit. And I like 1 Thessalonians, turn to 1 Thessalonians. I love it. I love this chapter here. Some of the things he tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, before I get to that quenching verse, there's a whole lot of said, but I'll start at the 16th verse. Rejoice. What is it? Rejoice. Nobody yell that?
No.
Rejoice what? Evermore, rejoice, evermore. What the next verse said? I can't hear y'all. What the next verse said? Then he gets to verse 19, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. See, quench not the spirit. Don't put the fire out. The third key is always surrender to the Holy Spirit, knowing how never to resist the spirit. Always surrender.
Amen.
If you surrender, you're not going to resist. Then number four, having a flowing attitude of gratitude for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Number five, be quick to repent.
Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit, he'll bring something to you. And he said, now you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Don't get no paper out and try to argue with the Holy Ghost. You know that he know what he's talking about. Don't justify what she made me do. She ain't me. Just shut up and repent. The demons already got the report you done messed up. The Holy Ghost come to tell you, hurry up, get up, you up, because you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't try to justify who wrong or what. Just get me out of this thing, Lord. How many of y'all remember your stubborn moment? I'm going to find somebody to put this on. They said, be quick to repent. Yeah, yeah. And then, come on, let me pray about it. You ain't got to pray about it. You know you need to repent. Come on. And then number six, let the fruit of the Spirit grow and manifest. Every day, let the fruit of the Spirit grow in Galatians 5, 22, 23. And then number seven is a powerhouse, praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, praying mysteries. Jude 20, speaking unto God, unfolding mysteries, and building unstoppable faith. Praying in the Spirit, speaking unto God, unfolding mysteries, building unstoppable faith. See it? Here's some of the things this will produce for you. And I want somebody to grasp this tonight because I believe some things are about to open up. All right? Acceleration of accessing your access. What belongs to you? Acceleration. This is what it's all about. Acceleration of accessing your asset.
Amen.
Your inheritance, the thing that belongs to you. The life that God wants you to have. The cleansing power of the Holy Spirit is released in your life. When we commune with the Spirit, His wisdom flows to us and through us.
Yes.
Now, when you're functioning in the wisdom of God, you can't be stopped. When we commune with the Holy Spirit, we open our capacity to receive revelation. I may go over some of these Sunday, but I'm going to give you one or two more. Praying in tongue channels our spiritual antennas.
Amen.
Directly to the frequency of God.
Amen.
Communion with the Holy Spirit produces hearing, seeing, and understanding. Remember what Jesus said? My sheep? Here's my voice. Voice of a stranger? Mm-hmm. Everything you're dealing with that don't supposed to be in your life is the voice of the stranger. Don't follow it. Don't follow it. Don't follow it. Don't follow it. natural living, no longer able to control how things will come out for you. My God. Write these down, I'm closing. There's 9 supernatural benefits. I'm just gonna spit them out. Power, love, sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. John 14:6. Way, truth, and life. That's not just to get to heaven. The way, truth, and life. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. I think Junior talked about the importance of the spirit. It's all spiritual. And it's available now. It's not just talking about going to heaven. Now this, the last 3 came by revelation to me. They're found in Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting, reaching, and pressing. Philippians 3, you see it. Forgetting the things behind you, reaching at the things before you. And then what you can't reach, press on in.
Amen.
Amen. Stand on your feet. Let's pray at God a minute. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hand and pray at God and do whatever we're going to do. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May every situation be penetrated by the revelation of your word. May divine hearing, divine seeing, and divine understanding be upon the heart of every person under the sound of my voice, and may they be able to move in the arena where you want them to be in. And may this word settle in their heart, settle in their mind, settle in their soul, settle in their imagination, that they can use it as the sword of the Spirit. We give you honor, we give you all the glory for what you working in our lives tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Receive some of the things you've heard tonight. Let the Spirit take that word you already know and sharpen it as a two-edged sword. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God wants you to have the best.
Yes.
You hear what I said?
Yes.
God wants you to have the best. Matter of fact, He has provided for you to have the best. Yes. Revelation will take you to the best.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Don't let nobody talk you down about wanting the best. You designed to have the best. Don't let no religious spirit talk to you talking about you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Why shouldn't I? I'm blessed by God. Ask the person next to you, are you blessed? Listen to this. Are you ready to pass the blessed test? I tell you, very few people know this. Very few people know this. If there's such a thing as showing off, God looking for somebody. Can he find him up in here?
Yeah.
God want to display his covenant through his children. There's a lot of people are not going to get saved unless we walk in front of them. See, so you being blessed is not all about you. You see, God bragging. Hey, you seen my servant Joe? And don't y'all feel sorry for Joe? Because on the end, God gave him twice as much. All right, shut down, get your envelope, let's give.